Bring the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. It is now 1:31, Thursday, February 22nd, in Belts 105. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Giesel, Senator Bjorkman, and myself, Chair Dunbar. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Before we begin, I would like to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Recording Secretary, and Shelby Carroll from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. We have three items of business on our agenda today. First, an introductory hearing and invited in public testimony on SB 236, Grants to Disaster Victims, by Senator Jesse Keel, who is in the room today. Second, an introductory hearing and invited in public testimony on SCR 8, recognizing NCSL on the 50th anniversary, by President Stevens. And finally, SB 179, Property Transfer Tax, by Senator Bjorkman. We have a memo from Legislative Legal, a fiscal note, and an expected amendment. Do any committee members have any questions before we begin? Okay. All right. So, again, for our first order of business, we're going to have an introductory hearing on SB 236, Grants to Disaster Victims. Senator Keel, if you might want to come forward, put yourself on the record, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, I am Jesse Keel. I have the privilege of representing Senate District B. Mr. Chairman, we see in Alaska that our phenomenal scenery and remarkable landscapes come with some risks. When disasters strike, they can bankrupt individuals, they can destroy homes, they can kill. Only the most widespread and colossal of these disasters rise to the level of receiving a federal disaster declaration. That doesn't stop, has not stopped, the state of Alaska from helping out our neighbors with disasters that happen but do not reach the level of a presidential declaration. Our governor, in his State of the State speech just a few weeks ago, spoke to the number of state disaster declarations he himself has issued. And I dare say all of us have seen such disasters in our communities. In recent years, constituents of mine and Alaskans around the state have found some gaps in our state's response to these state-level disasters. SB 236 closes two of them. The first is the amount of assistance available. Right now, when there is a state-level disaster that does not reach the level of a presidential declaration, the state of Alaska can provide from our disaster relief fund up to half the amount that FEMA will pay. That adjusts with inflation, but I believe at the moment it's in the neighborhood of $21,000. $21,000 doesn't fix much. It has adjusted over time with general price inflation, but not with the inflation in the cost of construction. It isn't enough to help someone, a family who's been flattened by a disaster, back up onto their knees, much less all the way under their feet. Senate Bill 236 addresses this by setting the minimum disaster, the disaster assistance available at the greater of $50,000 or half of the federal disaster assistance level. It will be a long time before the latter kicks in. I should note that, of course, state disaster assistance doesn't automatically pay that dollar amount. It is based on a person's actual losses. Should someone suffer minor losses in a disaster that hits their neighbors harder, we don't pay automatically the $50,000 under this bill. The second item became apparent in a couple of recent disasters here in my district. We learned that the language in the law today does not allow a homeowner in a condo association to cover disaster-caused damages that the homeowners association bills them for. So as we think about condos, the old saying is you own it from the paint in. The roof, the foundation, those are, in a legal sense, owned by and obligations of the homeowners association. And so if the disaster damages the roof or the foundation, and the homeowners association sends each unit owner a bill for their share of that, that doesn't meet our technically meet our status quo law for something that's eligible for state disaster assistance. SB 236 fixes that. If your home is a condo and a disaster damages the condo, you can use the disaster assistance to pay that bill. Mr. Chairman, we could certainly spend a lot of time and an almost limitless amount of money trying to address every bit of damage done by a disaster. That is not this bill. This bill is an attempt to plug one glaring hole and to raise the amount of money that we provide to our fellow Alaskans just to get people started back to their feet. I'm happy to take any questions. We also have invited testifiers available to speak to the committee.
Thank you. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Keel, for bringing this forward. My question is, what's the federal disaster assistance amount currently?
Mr. Chairman, in answer to Senator Gray Jackson, I don't have the exact amount. It's approximately $42,000.
That's good enough. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Any other questions? We do have a sectional here. Our staffer, Ms. Ella Atkinson. Would you like to walk us through the sectional? I think it's a fairly short sectional.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Ella Atkinson, staff to Senator Keel. Section 1 of the bill repeals and reenacts an existing section and statute without substantive changes, so the format is consistent with later sections. And Section 2 increases the maximum amount of state aid to the greater of $50,000 or half the federal maximum. It also allows a grantee who is a member of a condo association to use state aid to pay for their share of condo-wide damage expenses. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions regarding the sectional? Okay, I see we have four testifiers, but I have two listed as invited. Are all four invited, Senator Keel, or is it the two? I have Wade Bryson and Sylvia Hines. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We also have Steve Bradford. Let's see. So all three of those are invited testimony, yes?
Yes, please, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have any preference on the order in which they testify?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, then we will start in person with Mr. Wade Bryson. Mr. Bryson, are you here? Do you want to come forward and please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony? Oh, I should open testimonies. We're in invited testimony now.
Thank you, Chair Dunbar, and to the committee. I'm honored to be here for my very first time testifying to our state legislature, so thank you for the opportunity. I am Wade Bryson. I'm an assembly member for the city of Juneau, Alaska, and I'm here on behalf of the mayor and the rest of the assembly to let you know that Juneau does support SB 236. Last August, on the 6th, the Mendenhall Glacier had a glacial outburst flooding, or what we've called a jakelhopp, is the Swedish term for it. I've been a rafter on the Mendenhall River for 25 years, and I had seen lots of changes, but nothing could prepare me for what I saw that day. I went to the bridge, the Mendenhall Backloop Bridge, that day before it really was rising, and you could only see like a foot between the water and the bottom of the bridge. And there's normally 20 feet. I mean, it was very impressive. After the outburst flooding, I went with Capital City Fire and Rescue and Senator Murkowski, and we went up the river to see the changes. Chunks of mountain, hundreds of yards of length, gone. The river is straight where it used to do a couple of S-turns. I was standing on two rocks that were the size of houses that used to be in the river. Now that they were below the river, we were standing on the sandbar that was there. It was impressive. I went to a neighborhood meeting for that particular neighborhood as they were trying to figure things out, and everyone's scared when a natural disaster happens, and everybody's in a little bit of a panic mode. We also, as I'm the chair of Public Works and Facilities, is my committee assignment, we had a public testimony where the community could come and tell us how they were feeling about this, and overwhelmingly, they felt lost, like the city wasn't backing them up. They felt like there was going to be more aid provided to the citizens. It is now a standing topic at Public Works and Facilities because of the importance to our community. During this time, I felt helpless as a politician. And in fact, the only promise I could make to people is that there are no promises here, because it was something that was beyond our control. And the city did not have any mechanisms. We were reliant on the state's relief to help our citizens, and that did feel helpless as a politician. This disaster, like all other disasters that happen to us, creates panic in our citizens. And one of the things that leads to that is they don't know what to do next. They don't know how quickly aid will come, or they don't know if insurance will cover it. And even worse, they found in this situation, because the earth moved underneath the home, it didn't qualify for insurance. So having the higher state level of assistance will put some relief to those citizens in their most trying times. Most people's entire wealth is in their home, their lifetime of work. And we had the two families that were retirees that lost their homes were the most impacted. And how do they start over? What are the consequences of starting over? And changing this bill from what probably was an okay amount when this first came up to the $50,000, with that being the cap, that does give a little bit more surety to the citizens who are in their worst panic moments of their lives. They can't go home. There's nowhere to go to. No district in Alaska is immune from natural disaster. You might not have a glacial outburst flooding, but we know that natural disasters happen in Alaska. And as a politician who wants to be able to be there for my community, this is another opportunity where I need to turn to the state and say, please help me help my community. So thank you for hearing my testimony, my personal experience, knowing what it was like to want to help my citizens in my community and not be able to. So thank you very much for allowing me to come and speak today.
Thank you, Assemblymember Bryson. Are there any questions? Not seeing anything. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Dunbar.
We'll now move on to in-person Ms. Sylvia Hines from the Haines Long-Term Recovery Group. Wonderful. Ms. Hines, if you'd please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
For the record, my name is Sylvia Hines. I reside in Haines and Juneau now. And at this point, I'm representing myself as the Long-Term Recovery Group has disbanded. As we've concluded disaster work in Haines, but I speak from my professional experience as the Tribal Emergency Manager for Chilkoot Indian Association, for the Reconstruction Project Manager, and Deputy Administrator for Alaska for Team Rubicon, as I've had the honor to respond to disasters across the state and down in the lower 48. So I encourage you to support SB 236 because, number one, Alaskans need it. The current funding is not adequate. Disasters are increasing in frequency and intensity. I don't think it's coincidence that I met Senator Olson up in Gullivan last year. I think it's probability. All of us are going to continue to our likelihood of experiencing disasters personally and people that we care about is going up. Number two, the Alaska economy needs it. Again, current funding is not enough. Disasters wreak havoc on communities and and especially in rural areas, the rural economies. This bill, this funding creates jobs. This money directly goes, usually, obviously it's in the hands of the individual, but quite a bit of this money goes towards contractors and goes towards reconstruction efforts. And the third reason I support this bill is because of trust. I have seen, we have one of the best Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management departments in the country. And when I go to the lower 48 and I'm working with professionals I admire, I am so proud to be an Alaskan as I explain how Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management and how our IA program effectively manages this funding. So in Haines, 2020, we, December 1st, it started to rain on 10 feet of snow. And we could not see through that rain. We had, by December 2nd, that night, we were evacuating people with loaders. We, unfortunately, that day, had the large slide that killed my colleague, David, and my kid's kindergarten teacher. We lost a total of five people that week. But by the end of it, it wasn't just those fatalities that got all the press, but we had 250 households that reported damage. It's about 34% of the community. 140 households by April we had assessed needed further assistance. And those kind of numbers, communities cannot do it by themselves. Communities cannot recover by themselves. And that funding And the way that the state of Alaska managed that funding and helped, I mean, I could tell story after story after story of that 86-year-old woman who was in her home being evacuated by a loader, didn't want to leave because she had a shovel shoveling the mountain out of her house. And that funding, she, without that funding, she would not have been able to get back in her home. We would all still be supporting her through tax dollars and through further assistance. So again, encourage you to support this bill because Alaskans need it. This is good for the Alaska economy, and we can be proud of a department that manages money effectively and support them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hines. I don't see any questions. Thank you very much for your testimony. We'll now go to the phones. We have Mr. Steve Bradford, the Vice President of the Riverside Condo Association. Mr. Bradford, are you online?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for the opportunity
to begin your testimony.
Yes, and thank you for the opportunity to speak in favor of SB 236 today. As stated, I am the Vice President of the Riverside Condo Association here in Juneau, Alaska. During the flood of April 5, we lost basically over 100 feet of front yard out to the river and about 100 cubic yards of soil from underneath our most damaged building. We nearly lost one building into the river. We're in the process now of repairing that building. Our total costs are expected to be about $1.09 million. And these repairs are being borne by the condo unit owners, as state law does not currently allow financial grants to condo owners. Only homes of single-family residences are entitled to the $21,000 that Senator Keel spoke to. In our case, each owner has been assessed $21,062 for the smaller units and $26,882 for the larger units. And in many cases, condos are starter homes for people, so a lot of these people can barely afford to get into a condo and pay the monthly condo fees and so forth. And an assessment like this really hit them hard. And also, we have to notice that also that the internal costs for sheetrock, tile, flooring damage were in addition to these condo assessments to the six owners of the building that nearly collapsed. This building, we lost the support end of the foundation. In fact, we lost the whole foundation on three sides. It nearly collapsed, and that could be another $25,000 per unit just to do the internal repairs. So suffice it to say that the Riverside condo owners wholeheartedly support SB 36, thereby placing condo owners on the same emergency benefit eligibility level as single-family homeowners in Alaska. And again, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak today, and I'd be happy to take any questions folks would have.
Thank you, Mr. Bradford. Any questions from my colleagues? I actually have one. It's a little bit, it's not directly connected to this bill, but it's something that Senator Keel said. He said that insurance was refusing to pay some of the damage, and so I was sort of wondering, who is your insurer, and what was their justification for not paying that damage? The removal?
Yes, good question. Our insurer is State Farm, and I personally looked at the policy because I couldn't believe that we couldn't be covered by insurance of something this horrific. And come to find out, right there in the insurance policy, it states specifically, in Alaska, Florida, and several other states, earth movement negates your insurance. If you have any damage due to earth movement, the insurance doesn't pay it. We had no water on any floors, so we weren't actually flooded, but we had the foundation and the soils underneath our foundations just whisked out from our building, along with 100 feet of our yards and so forth along the river. But so he's exactly right. If you have earth movement, it wouldn't matter whether you had flood insurance or not. It's not going to pay, and that's exactly what happened.
That is very unfortunate. Perhaps a topic for a different statute, because that sounds I imagine there are a lot of people who think they're covered that aren't covered, and that's frightening to think, and frankly, I think a little shameful. But Thank you, Mr. Bradford, for what you're doing, and thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much for this opportunity today.
Thank you. That is all we have for invited testimony. So I'll now open it up to public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify to this bill? Not seeing. Do we have anyone online? There is no one online. So I think I will leave public testimony open, and we will set this bill aside, and we will take it up again at a later date. But thank you very much, Senator Keel, and we will see you at a future hearing. All right, for our next order of business, we are going to have an introductory hearing on SCR 8 grants. Oh, looks like that is the wrong title there. Not grants to disaster victims. It is, here we go, recognizing NCSL on the 50th anniversary by Senator Gary Stevens. So we have his representative here. Do you want to come forward? So we will hear an introduction on the resolution from the sponsor's staff. We have some invited testimony, and in person we have Ms. Sydney Enland, the state outreach manager for NCSL, and I see her in the room today. We have Tim Lamkin here. So would you please put yourself on the record and introduce the resolution?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is, for the record, Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Gary Stevens, Senate President. Unfortunately, Senator Stevens is unable to join us today. He's taking care of administration of the Senate as we speak, but he sends his gratitude that, that you're hearing this bill. We were our office was approached last fall indicating that the 50th anniversary of NCSL was approaching. I suppose, as a matter of protocol, the NCSL stands for National Conference of State Legislatures. They were established in 1975. They have a long history of providing resources to legislatures throughout the country, a variety of resources, not only of, as a, for staff, it's quite a tool set of information, research, data, also professional development. Many of you may likely be acquainted with the conferences that they have, the professional development in particular. They are all about networking, and partnership and collaborations, and generally on the legislative institution, and preserving it as a pillar of our government. That is a kind of an overview. You want to recognize the work that they do and have done for all of these decades. I don't want to take too much of the committee's time. I believe that the resolution speaks for itself as you read it. And with that, I'd like to turn to Ms. Enland to answer any detailed questions that you may have.
Great. Yeah, do any folks have questions for Mr. Lamkin before we move to invited testimony? I don't see any. Thank you, Mr. Lamkin. And now we have Ms. Sydney Enland. If you could please come forward and put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Sydney Enland. I'm the State Outreach Manager at the National Conference of State Legislatures, also known as NCSL. I'll just start by a little bit of background. NCSL represents the legislatures in the states, territories, and commonwealths of the United States. Our mission is to advance the effectiveness, independence, and integrity of legislatures and to foster interstate cooperation and facilitate the exchange of information among legislatures. We are so excited that we are about to celebrate 50 years for 2024-2025. Our celebrations will officially kick off at our 2024 Legislative Summit in Louisville, Kentucky, and conclude at the 2025 Legislative Summit in Boston, Massachusetts. For 50 years, NCSL has served to advance the effectiveness, independence, and integrity of legislatures while advocating at the national level in support of state interests. As we celebrate 50 years of service, we recommit ourselves to helping state legislatures strengthen representative democracy, model civility, and embrace innovation. Every state legislator and legislative staffers are members of NCSL. This 50th anniversary is an opportunity to showcase the indispensable value of state legislatures in the American democratic system. State legislatures are models of civility and state legislators know how to disagree without being disagreeable. Legislatures are where people from very different backgrounds representing very different communities can come together and find common ground. State legislatures are America's laboratories of democracy, and legislatures have continually shown that they are the bodies to tackle emerging challenges. I also want to say for legislative staff, they provide counsel to you all as legislators. They offer nonpartisan guidance and institutional knowledge, and they are vital to ensuring the resilience of democratic ideals. And just a couple of ways to help promote our 50th anniversary, please call upon us as a trustworthy, nonpartisan policy research place to help inform your work in your day-to-day. Please share your success in finding common ground when in addressing tough problems. NCSL has a podcast called Across the Aisle where we tell stories of legislators from both sides of the aisle coming together. One of the first episodes that we did was about legislators in Nebraska climbing Kilimanjaro together. So I encourage you to check that out. Connect with other legislators throughout our meetings, whether they be in person or virtual. And please share how you have benefited from your involvement with NCSL with your colleagues. And with that, I will turn it back to you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Edlund. Are there any questions? I don't see any. I guess I'll just ask, how long are you in town for?
I leave tomorrow, but I've been here since Tuesday and have. I'm also the Alaska liaison for NCSL as well, so I come up here once a year to say hi to everyone, remind everyone of our services and the supports that we offer to you as legislators and legislative staff. And I head back to Denver tomorrow. But it has been a wonderful visit. It's a beautiful day out today. And I'm very grateful for all of your support to NCSL over the years and your participation, and really thankful for this opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Edlund, and we appreciate your appreciation for our liquid and sunshine. So at this time, I'm going to open public testimony to see, is there anyone in the room who would like to testify on this resolution? Is there anyone online? Don't have anyone there. Okay, so I'm not seeing and hearing none. I'm going to close public testimony. We'll set this resolution aside and take it up at a further hearing. Thank you very much for your testimony, Ms. Edlund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Take a brief at ease while we set up for the next presenter. Discussed this at length at the last committee. I did read the legal memo. I'm sure my colleagues did too. It can be a little bit difficult to follow, but I agree with you, Mr. Jackson, what you just described is the crux of it. And it doesn't seem to be making a substantive change. And honestly, it's sort of a coincidence that piece of statute happens to be in the part of statute that you are trying to amend. So poor luck on your part. Okay, with that, let us move to the amendment. So Mr. Jackson, would you please describe the amendment?
Mr. Chair,
oh yes,
I move conceptual amendment number one and further move that the committee grant Ledge Legal the permission to make conforming changes as needed.
I will object for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Conceptual amendment number one would add by reference a simple definition to the term transfer in this bill. We've heard some concerns that the definition would help provide clarity to some local sub-political units like municipalities.
Okay. Are there any questions regarding the amendment? And everyone has the definition, the already existing definition that is already in statute before them. Okay. I'm going to remove my objection to the amendment. Does anyone else have an objection to the amendment? Okay, seeing none, SB 179 is amended. So at this time, are there any further questions or discussion regarding the bill SB 179 as amended? Okay. Would you like to make any concluding remarks, Senator Bjorkman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for again hearing this bill. I'm glad to provide clarity as requested, as well as to relieve local property owners from the onerous burden of potential transfer taxes that might be levied upon them through this legislation.
Okay. In the script, it has you making the motion, but I think it would be better if we had maybe another member move the bill. What do you think? You can do it yourself. So I think that's probably you then, because our vice chair isn't here. Would you make the motion, Senator Giesel?
Mr. Chairman, are you looking for a motion?
Yes, please.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill number 179, version 33, LS1093/alpha, with amendment and attached fiscal notes from the committee and individual recommendations.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Are there any objections? Seeing none, SB 179 passes from the committee. We will sign the individual recommendations at the end of the committee. So that's it. Thank you very much for a productive hearing. The Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee will next meet Tuesday, February 27th at 1:30. The time is 2:08, and this hearing of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee is now adjourned.